Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
It's like my favorite video I've ever done. Hey, question. When's the last time you were in a fight? Don't answer. But when's the last time you were in a, and I mean a fight, like you swung, there were blows, like when's the last time you were in a fight? Think about it. Think about the last time you were in a fight. I've been thinking about it for weeks because I knew I was going to teach this series. And the best I can remember, the last time I was in a fight, in a real fight, was when I was in the eighth grade. I was in a fight with a guy. We weren't even friends. We kind of had friends of friends. And it was before school started. I was standing at my locker. And he came up. I don't remember. Maybe he had a locker next to him. Anyway, we got in an argument about something. And he pushed me. And because I'm a man, I pushed him back, right? Because I'm an idiot. And so I pushed him back in that moment. And if you're in middle school, you've ever been a part of a fight, you know what happens next? A circle formed around us. You know, and then I started going, fight, 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 fight. And, you know, that kind of gets you juiced up. And so he pushed me again, and I pushed him again, and that was about the extent of the fight. You know, it never really went anywhere else, but we were really good at pushing each other. And it just so happened that a teacher that I knew very well, his classroom was right beside my locker, and of course he heard, fight, fight, fight. So he came out, saw me in the fight, and very graciously, like, reached in, grabbed me, and pulled me into his classroom, and was like, what are you doing? Because it was a really silly thing to do. Because in my school, as many of you have kids in school now, they had a zero tolerance policy for fighting. And so had we actually been caught in our pushing match, they would have called the police. The police would have come. They would have arrested us and taken us to jail. Because we were pushing each other. I was not thinking clearly when I began pushing this dude. And by pulling me into the classroom and kind of shaking me, he helped me realize, okay, yeah, that was really dumb. Because the repercussions for that fight would have been something I didn't want to deal with. And so from that point forward, I've never had a physical, real fight because I'm a little bit afraid. And because, you know, I realized that it just wasn't worth it. I mean, seriously, I don't even remember what the dude and I were fighting about. We probably, like, talked about it later in the day, like, but that was stupid. And we kind of moved on, right? And so I kind of learned at an early age, like, that's not a good idea. That's not a good thing to do. And I would assume for the vast majority of you in the room, you've learned the same thing. Maybe you learned it because you did have some bad consequences for taking a swing at somebody. Maybe you lost a job. Maybe you spent the night in jail. Maybe you've had something like that happen. And so you regretted having a physical altercation. So you've taken some steps to change that behavior, and you no longer have physical altercations. Now, I know there's some of you in the room, you remember your last fight, you remember it fondly, you don't regret it at all. Now, if that's you, I want you to speak to Eric Colquitt after the service today. Hold on. No. I want you on my security team, right? I mean, if you're going to break some skulls, let's break them for Jesus, right? And so, you know, everybody's got a role to play in God's story. Maybe your role is making sure I don't get got, you know? So anyway, but my assumption is the vast majority of you are like me, and you regret it, right? You regret your last physical altercation. Maybe you can't even remember your last physical altercation. Maybe you never had a physical altercation. Now, let me ask you another question. When's the last time you got into a verbal fight? When's the last time you got into an argument? I bet it's a lot easier to remember. I bet some of you are like, oh, which one? I got in three this week. Some of you would say, we actually got in a fight last night. We actually got in a fight on the way to church this morning, Pastor. We actually got in a fight in the parking lot, Pastor. Actually, if I'm honest, we're in a fight right now. We were fighting through the music. When the music stopped, we stopped because it was embarrassing, but we're not speaking right now. And it's a little awkward you've brought it up. See, we draw this line. We have this huge distinction between a physical altercation, confrontation, fight, and a verbal altercation, fight. And for most of us, it's because of something we were taught as kids. You were probably taught this phrase. I was taught this phrase. We're all taught this phrase, right? We were taught this phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And it's a good phrase. We were taught this phrase for a reason. This phrase was meant to help us to ignore the bully, right? To ignore the people who were talking bad about us. It was to build us up, say they're just words that don't have any power over you. They can't really hurt you. A good idea in theory. But we all know that's really not true. We all know that words have power and that words can hurt people. But the scariest thing about this phrase, and the reason we're talking about it this morning, is I believe this phrase has set us free. I believe this phrase has excused us to separate physical and verbal in our minds. And has excused us to be, as long as I don't raise a hand, as long as I don't physically interact with someone, I just verbally say these things to them, nothing's actually going to happen. There's really nothing wrong there because sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I think that is a very, very dangerous assumption. And I think if we don't begin to grasp and admit that the words we use have the power to change lives, we run the risk of ruining relationships we have. And I believe we miss out on God's absolute best for our life. Which is why we're starting a brand new series today that we're calling Sticks and Stones. And this series is all about what God has to say to us about how we communicate with each other. Because God has a ton to say about how we communicate, about the tone of our communication, about the words we use, about when we choose to use those words. God has so much to say. Now, I know for some of you, you're here today, you don't believe in God, right? You're here because, as TJ said, your mom made you come. You're here because you're friends with somebody in the band. You're here because you came to buy furniture and the store's not open yet. And so you're like, well, I'll kill some time. You know, you're here for a myriad of reasons, but you don't believe in God. So the idea of a series that talks about what God says about how you communicate, you don't feel is relevant to you because you don't believe in God. Well, let me help you, right? What we're going to do in this series is we are going to look at something called biblical principles, right? These are God's principles. These are things that he says, and they are true whether you believe in him or not, which means you can apply the teachings that we're going to look at over the next 4 weeks, and they will work in your life whether you believe in God or not. And these principles are going to turn you into a better spouse and a better parent and a better friend and a better employee and a better boss and a better neighbor. Because as we're going to see in this series, how we communicate, the words we use, the way in which we choose to speak impacts every single area of our life. And I believe that it can be better than it is. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect, but it can be better. So, if you're here today and you don't believe in God, I have a deal to make with you. All right? You're already here today. That's one Sunday. That's 1 hour of your week. I want to challenge you to give God 3 more hours. To make it a total of 4 hours today and the next 3 Sundays after this one. This series is 4 weeks long. I want to challenge you to give God 4 hours out of the next 4 weeks and hear what he has to say about how you communicate. And then I want to challenge you to actually apply it to your life, to actually begin to try to put into practice what he teaches. All right? And here's the deal. At the end of a four-week series, if you've listened and you've heard and you've begun to apply it in your life, if you at the end of 4 weeks say, you know what, that didn't work, my relationships aren't any better, my communication is not better, in fact, it got worse. If you don't think it helps, you have my permission as a pastor to continue not believing in God. You're done. 4 hours, you can write it off your list, you can say, okay, well, now I know God's not real, and you can move on with your life. But if at the end of 4 weeks you find, well, you know what? That kind of worked. I mean, we're not yelling as much, and we're actually having real conversations, and man, I got to admit that kind of helped. Here's the deal. You don't even have to believe in God then. I'm not saying you have to believe in God. You just have to wrestle with the fact that if God was right about that, what if he's right about everything else? Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. 4 weeks. Worst thing that happens is you waste 4 hours. The best thing that happens is every area of your life gets better. And you discover that the guy we were just singing about, the God of the universe, Yahweh, is real. He loves you. And he has a plan for your life. Now, I don't know how some of you think. You're like, dude, 4 hours? Come on, man. Just give it to me all now. Here's the problem with that. There's a clock back there. When it goes off, you're going to get up and go home. Because I've watched it happen. You know, I have an allotted amount of time I can speak. And there's no way I can get it all in that little bit of time. So it's going to take 4 weeks. It's going to take 4 weeks to talk about this, right? And you may say, man, I'm going to be out of town. It's okay. We got you covered. There's this thing called the internet. You should look it up on the internet. Go to this website, wellspringchurch.tv/sticks and stones. Every Monday, we're going to put up the last week's sermon. So if you miss a Sunday, if you're out of town, if you're going to a football game or something, you can catch it. If you want extra credit, you can get together with your friends, with your spouse. You can watch it together. You can chat about it. You can even join one of our small groups. We call them community groups. They get together every other Sunday or during the week in people's homes. They have great food. They talk. And they get together and talk about what we talk about here on a Sunday morning. And it helps them to apply what we talk about. So that's my challenge. We've taken away every excuse. It's super easy. If you can't be here, you can watch it on your own terms. But 4 weeks, 4 Sundays, 4 hours. If it doesn't help you, you're done. But if it does, because it will, you have to begin wrestling with the idea that if God's right about that, what if he's right about everything else? So, let's get started. Today we're going to start. Today is an introductory message. It's an intro. I'll go ahead and tell you right now, I'm going to cause more confusion than I solve today. I'm going to create more problems than I give solutions. In fact, I'm not going to give you a solution today, so you're welcome. Aren't you glad you're here? Not going to solve a thing today. We're going to start solving stuff next week. I have one goal today and one goal only. My goal today is to convince you there is a problem. Because when I look around this church, when I look around my neighborhood, when I look around our school, when I look around our city and our state, when I look around my house, we do not live like we have a problem. And we certainly don't live like we have a serious problem. Because I know how people react when there's a serious problem. For example, if you were at your house and you became aware that there was a gas leak in your house, I know how you would react. You would react quickly. You would react swiftly. You would not go to Amazon and say, you know what, let me Google books on gas leaks. Well, I could order this book, and I could pay a dollar extra. It'd be here tomorrow. I ain't paying that dollar next week. You wouldn't do that because you understand that a gas leak is a very serious problem and has serious ramifications. It could have fatal ramifications. So when you become aware of something like that in your life, you take drastic steps. You call whoever it takes. You do whatever it takes. You get people out of the house. You become an expert. You do whatever it takes to solve that problem. And I don't see people doing that when it comes to how we communicate with each other and when it comes to how we use words with each other. But I'm telling you, folks, it's even more dangerous. It's even more deadly. And it's because of the weight of words. And the reason we don't think there's a problem is because we don't understand the weight of our words. We don't understand how heavy they are, which is fascinating because we all perfectly understand the weight of other people's words. We fully get that. Let me give you an example. Think back to one of the meanest, most hurtful things anyone's ever said to you. Now, for some of you, you're going to have to go back years. Others are going to go back decades. But even as I ask the question, you don't have to think about it, do you? Because you know what it was. And you know who said it. You know where you were when they said it. You maybe even know what the room smelled like when they said it. You remember the look on their face when they said it. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a child. Maybe it was your spouse. Maybe it was your best friend. But when they said that thing, they probably used words like, you're always, or you'll never. They probably called you dumb, or lazy, or fat, or stupid. They said these things. They said that for some of you, they have shaped your life. They told you you would never amount to anything. They told you you ruined something. And those words have weighed on you for years and maybe even decades because they were heavy. And they planted themselves inside of you. Yes, we have no problem understanding the weight of other people's words. The problem, and that's what this entire series is going to be about. The series is not about other people's words. The series is about our words. The series is not about making your spouse a better communicator. It's about making you a better communicator. If you're sitting here thinking, thank God he's here, you are thinking the wrong thing. Right? If you're already making a list of, I'm going to send that website to these people. I mean, do it, that's fine, but do it kindly. Because we are fully aware of the weight of other people's words. That's why you can remember the meanest thing someone's ever said to you. But let me flip it. What's the meanest, most harmful thing you've ever said to someone else? It's a much more difficult question, isn't it? Because you don't remember. Have any of you ever had people come up to you years later and tell you something you said to them and you literally have no recollection of saying that? And you're like, I mean, that kind of sounds... Maybe, but I didn't mean it that way. Or it was just a joke. I was just joking. Haven't they ever heard of a joke? It was just a joke. Or they took that the wrong way, right? That's what we do. We excuse our words. We excuse them because we don't understand the weight. We don't understand that our words can be weapons when used the wrong way. Now, weapons is a strong word, but I'm not making it up. I get it from God. See, in his Bible, which was his gift to humanity, he has lots of things that he says about words and about how we communicate. And today we're going to look at two different passages from a guy named King Solomon. King Solomon was the son of King David. If you ever heard of King David, David was the guy who killed the giant Goliath and he became king. His son Solomon became the next king after him. And Solomon was a very smart man, and Solomon actually wrote a book called the Book of Proverbs. And this Book of Proverbs is just a collection of wise sayings and wisdom that we as Christians believe was actually given to him by God himself. And so we can read this Book of Proverbs, and it's like we're actually reading what God wants us to know. And it's God's giving us some wisdom about words. And he speaks very directly on this issue. And what he says is they are more powerful than you think. They have more weight than you think. And if you aren't careful, if you don't understand how to use them, you're never going to be able to accomplish what I want you to accomplish. And it begins with understanding how heavy they are, how much they weigh. So let me turn to the scripture. Let me show you what God says through King Solomon about our words. Let's start in Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, verse 6. The words of the wicked are like a murderous ambush, but the words of the godly save lives. Words. Some about words. The words of the wicked. And that don't before we're all wicked, right? We all have bad days. The words of us are like a murderous ambush. It means they come without notice and they have the power to destroy. But then he also says the words of the godly save lives. He's trying to point out the power of words. He's trying to help us understand that there is weight to what we say. And the reason he's doing that is because of our bottom line for them. I'm going to go ahead and give you the bottom line right now. This is the whole point of the day. This is the takeaway. This is what I believe God's trying to say. And this is what we have to get. This is what we have to figure out before we can ever begin to make changes to how we communicate, to our speaking with other people and how we hear other people. Before we can do any of that, we have to get what God is trying to say through this passage in Proverbs. And what I believe he's trying to say is this. He's trying to say when it comes to words, we have to respect their power before we can use them properly. most of us do not have a healthy respect for the power of our words. Now, there are other areas of our life where we have healthy respect. When I was a kid, my uncle taught me to hunt. My uncle was an avid hunter, and he loved to go deer hunting. And so I was probably fourth or fifth grade the first time I went with him. And it was a blast. We would, you know, get up super early in the morning. It doesn't sound fun. You get up super early, and you drive a long way. It's super cold. You claw into the woods at night, I mean, in really darkness, and you have to be super quiet and hope something walks by. Sounds like a blast, right? But it really was fun when I was a kid. And he taught me how to hunt, you know, taught me about, you know, what to wear, where to sit, how to listen for things. But there was one thing we talked about more than anything else when it came to hunting. The thing we talked about the absolute most was gun safety. We talked about gun safety constantly. We talked about it before we went hunting. We talked about it on the way to hunting. We talked about it while we were hunting. We talked about it on the way home from hunting. We were constantly talking about the proper way to load the rifle, how to put the safety on, how to make sure the safety was off, where to point it, how to never point it at a person, how to carry it. In fact, one of the places where we hunted went so far as to have something they called an open chamber rule, which meant from when you got out of your car and before you got to the stand, not only could your rifle not be loaded, the chamber had to be open. If you've ever seen a bolt-action rifle, you know, when they pull it back, and they pull it back, it puts the shell out and reloads, you had to leave the action open so that anybody walking around could see that your rifle, the action was open, and it was physically impossible for it to fire. Now, why do you think my uncle spent so much time going over safety with me when it came to the gun? Why do you, if any of you have guns in your home, spend so much time teaching your kids and teaching your spouse how to take care of them? Why do you spend so much time getting safes and making sure they're hidden away? Why do you spend so much time talking about and making sure that those firearms are handled properly? Do you know why you do that? It's because you understand the power of the gun. You understand that that gun has the ability to take a life like that. You understand the power. And that's what allows you to handle it properly. And as you teach your children, and as you teach other people, and as my uncle was teaching me, he knew, until I fully grasped and agreed with the power of that gun, until I fully understand what could happen, what the ramifications would be of using it improperly, I would never be able to handle it. And so we went over and over and over about the power. And what I believe God is trying to say through King Solomon is that my words and your words are exactly the same. And that until we just step back, and until we begin to embrace the power of our words, the power to kill, the power to give life, we will never be able to use them properly. Let me ask you a question. How would you have communicated differently this week? How would you have done it if you had simply been aware of the power of your words? How would you have communicated differently with your son when he asked you the question? Because right now you think back and you said the thing and you watched his little spirit just drop. You didn't even think about it. It just came out. How would you act differently if you were simply aware of the power of your words? Of the weight behind how we communicate. That's what God's trying to teach us. And we're going to go to another proverb, because in Proverbs 15, verse 4, God continues this. And here's what he says. He says, gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Gentle words, kind words, nice words, a tree of life. At Wellspring, we talk about wanting to be people that breed life into Myrtle Beach. And God's saying, gentle words are a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Now, he says deceit. But you've been crushed by more than deceit. You've been crushed by pettiness. You've been crushed by bitterness. You've been crushed by anger. You've been crushed by jealousy. And your words have crushed others for the very same reason, because we do not understand the power and the weight of our words. And until we do, until we learn to respect their power, we'll never be able to use them properly. Let me explain. For many of us, this is how we think of our words. Just this cute, soft, little bouncy ball. We just throw them out into the world. We just throw them out there, right? We just say, hey, I'm just joking. Hey, it's just a text. Don't worry, I got another basket. It's just a text. It's just a text. You know, they know I was joking. Oh, he didn't take that seriously? Are you kidding me? No way. It was just a Facebook post. It was just a text message. No, she didn't take that seriously. Do you think that hurt their feelings? No, no way. Because my words don't matter. Because sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. See, we don't understand the weight of our words. We think of them as these light, fluffy things that just go through the air. Let me show you what your words are really like. This is a much more accurate understanding of your words, right? See if I can get to the back. Here we go. I'm just kidding. We practiced a lot to make sure that wouldn't slip. No, this is what God's trying to tell us. This is what Solomon is trying to tell us, that our words are not cute little stress balls. Our words are like bowling balls. Now, a bowling ball used properly is fantastic. Who doesn't love a good bowl? My wife doesn't. Is who? She doesn't like bowling. But a bowling ball is not meant to be used improperly. It's not meant to be thrown at people. It's not meant to be used as a weapon. It's not meant to be used to harm people. Why? Because there's too much weight. And before we can ever begin to actually make changes to how we communicate, before we can even begin to apply God's principles for communication to our life, we have to agree with the first one. We have to agree that our words have weight. We have to agree that our words have power. We have to agree that our words have the capacity to give and take life just like our fists do. So my prayer for you today is that as you leave this place, you can begin to grasp what God's trying to tell us, that when it comes to words, specifically the words we speak, we have to respect their power before we can use them properly. We have to respect their power. Now, in order to do that, in order to respect our power, you have to become aware of the power. So here's your assignment for week one, right? Here's your assignment. Let me go ahead and tell you, I'm not going to ask you to change anything. Your assignment for week one is simply to observe. Simply observe the weight of your words this week. Observe the look on your spouse's face and your kid's face and your parents' face and your teacher's face and your boss's face and your employee's face as your words come out. To help you remember, we have one of those beautiful little stress balls for every single one of you on your way out. So don't pout because you didn't catch one. We have one for everybody. Please don't throw them in the lobby. Eric will get mad. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that and I want you to put it somewhere this week where you'll see it every day. Put it in your car. Put it in your cup holder. Put it somewhere where you'll see it so that every day you can be reminded that this is what I think my words are like. This is the weight I think my words have, but I'm wrong. My words are heavy. They have weight and they have power. And I promise, if you just begin to observe this week, and if you would be so bold as to maybe even pray a little prayer and say, hey, God, show me the power of my words this week, He will reveal it to you in ways you can't imagine possible. You will begin to see, oh, wow, I had no idea I was having that kind of impact. I had no idea they take it that way. I had no idea. And that awareness is just going to be going like crazy. And then next week, you can come back here. And next week, we're going to talk about how to fix the problem. Because here's the deal. There is a problem. Our words have weight because of what's behind those words. And we can never begin to change our communication until we heal the things that are behind our words. And spoiler alert, the only person who can heal those things is a man named Jesus. And next week, I'd love to talk to you all about him. And I am convinced that this week, if you simply observe, you will be overwhelmed at the weight and the power of your words. And you will begin to understand the power that comes behind what you say. And because you love your friends and your family and your neighbors and your coworkers, because you want the best for them, you are going to be compelled to try to learn how to handle it properly. Because you're not right now. And you're causing damage you don't mean to be causing. But you don't have to. That's what we're going to talk about next week. So as we wrap up today, we're going to sing a song. It's called Jesus, I Come. And it's an invitation to invite Jesus into your life, into your moment. I'm telling you right now, there's no better way to get a hold on this than to invite Jesus in. To invite Jesus in to give you clarity and to give you direction. And invite Jesus in to give you hope. Because trust me, there's nothing you've said that hasn't been said. There's nothing you've done that hasn't been done. There's nothing you've broken that Jesus can't fix. So don't let today be a day of sadness. Let today be a day of hope. Let it be a hopeful week of saying, man, I had no idea. I had no idea my words had this much power. Man, I can't wait to go back and hear what Jesus wants to do with it. Because remember, the words can give life or death. Just because we've made the wrong choices in the past doesn't mean we have to continue to make the wrong choices. We can take the power God's given us with our words, and we can breathe life into people like we've never imagined possible. That's what I believe God wants for every one of you, and that's why we're doing this series. I believe marriages are going to be transformed. I believe relationships are going to be healed. As we embrace God's plan and God's design for how he wants us to communicate with each other. So let me pray. You sing, and then you go home and you begin observing. Observe the power. Next week we'll talk about how to use them properly. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. God, we just thank you for just your crystal clear nature and how you communicate with us. And we thank you for how practical you are. It's something as simple yet as vital to us as communication is something you want to talk about and that you have a design for, and you have principles we can apply. You have a son you sent who can make it all possible. So, Father, as we sing this last song, I just pray you give us hope today. May we observe the power of our words. May we be overwhelmed by their power. And may we come back next week so that we can begin to learn how to use them properly, how to use them in a way that gives life and that breathes hope and that breathes healing into a world that desperately needs him. So in your son's name we pray.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.